The Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Kiva, will you please call the roll?
Chair Tomko?
Here.
Vice Chair Tuck?
Here.
Ranking Member Williams is excused. Representatives Alvarez?
Here.
Bracy Davis?
Here.
Kennedy?
Here.
Daly?
Here.
Daniels?
Here.
Dunkley?
Here.
Garcia? Gonzalez Pittman?
Present.
Lopez?
Here.
Michael?
Here.
Rizzo?
Here.
Temple?
Here.
A quorum is present, Madam Chair.
A quorum being present, I want to welcome everyone to the Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee. I ask that you make sure all your cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. And good morning, members, and welcome to our second committee or regular subcommittee week of regular session. And if I could take a moment, we have some familiar faces from back home in the audience today. With me, we have the City of Auburndale and some colleagues of mine from Sports Facilities Company and a past professor of mine from the University of Florida. So full house today, and thank you guys all for being here. Today we have four general bills on the agenda today. And first up, we will start with Representative Kennedy, and you are recognized to explain your bill, House Bill 1259, Education Funding. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 1259 is about funding public schools fairly, making sure all public schools have the capital outlay funding. They need to do great things for kids, both public district schools as well as public charter schools. Historically, public charter school students have received significantly less capital outlay funding per student, averaging less than half as much as public district school students. These are the funds that pay for things like construction and maintenance, remodeling, and other capital equipment like school buses. The bill shares 1.5 mils of local property tax revenue, ensuring fairness for all public school students. This bill also appropriates $213.5 million for charter school capital outlay, which will reduce the amounts that districts will be required to share in fiscal year 2023-24. And members, this is the bill.
Seeing no amendments, are there any questions on this bill? Seeing no questions, is there anyone wishing to testify? We have Shan Goff with the Foundation for Florida's Future, a proponent of the bill. Seeing no further testimony, is there debate? Oh, we have one more. We have Lauren Jackson, the City of Pembroke Pines, waves in support. Members, is there any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Kennedy, you're recognized to close.
Wave closed, Madam Chair.
Representative Kennedy, having closed on the bill, Kiva, will you please call roll?
Chair Tomko?
Yes.
Vice Chair Tuck?
Yes.
Ranking Member Williams? Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Kennedy? Daly?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gonzalez Pittman?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
14 yeas, zero nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, show House Bill 1259 will be reported favorably. Next, we will move on to HB 733, Middle School and High School Start Times by Representative Temple. Give him some time, but you are recognized to start when you are ready.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, Vice Chair, Committee. The American Academy of Pediatrics recognizes that insufficient sleep in adolescence is an important public health issue, which affects, of course, their health, their safety, and also their academic success. So what can we do about that? We can adjust the school start time. This would allow middle and high school students to receive the amount of sleep, 8.5 to 9.5 hours, that they need to be adequately rested and be healthy. It's also shown to improve academics, and that is the core purpose of our educational system, is to help them be successful as they move forward. HB 733 will require that the start time for middle school to start at 8 o'clock or later, and for high school, 8:30 or later. The school districts will have 3 years to figure out a plan to implement transportation to address those issues and any other things that come up along the way. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the bill.
Representative Temple, having explained the bill and there are no amendments, are there questions of the bill? Representative Bracy Davis, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for this bill. Can you talk a little bit about the fiscal impact?
Representative Temple, you're recognized.
To my knowledge, when I looked in, there wasn't a fiscal impact. Outside of what transportation, there may be some adjustments there, but they still have to run the same bus routes and everything, so there should not be a fiscal impact that I'm aware of.
Follow up? Members, any further questions? Seeing no more questions, we have some people wishing to testify. Becky Rollerson, Union County School Board, wishing to speak. You're recognized.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I am Becky Rollerson, the acting chairperson of the Union County School Board. I'd first like to commend you for your bill. Actually, I really appreciate that you are focused on the wellness of our students. It's definitely a concern for all of us. And from that perspective, you know, this bill does make sense. However, I do have some concerns when we talk about the fiscal impact. We are a unique county. We are a small rural school district. Our transportation actually runs specific routes that pick up our elementary, middle, and high school students all at the same time. So for us as a district, it would have some fiscal impacts with the way that we would have to restructure our transportation. The other, you know, concern for our rural communities, we do have a lot of parents who work for state agencies, such as Department of Corrections, who have specific schedules and start times. So our other concern with an 8:30 start time is that it would leave kids at the school bus stop longer than they already are. So we do have some parent concerns with regards to being able to make the schedule work. It sounds like it's only 30 minutes, but it's actually more than that when you're talking about unsupervised children at a bus stop. So those are our concerns. Again, we do commend you for keeping student wellness in mind. We would just ask that maybe it be considered for this bill to modify some of the language to make it a little bit more doable for some of the rural school districts. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Cindy Spray with Manatee County School District wishing to speak. And you are recognized.
Good morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you for bringing the bill forward. My name is Cindy Spray, Manatee County School Board Vice Chair. I do support the idea of this bill. However, I don't support the bill simply because I believe each of our districts has unique needs to accommodate their students, such as traffic, workforce schedules, and labor market for bus drivers. We have a huge need for bus drivers right now, and I believe that the district should have the ability to make their own schedules on picking up students. We have reached out to your staff and your aide to discuss what's going on with how the district needs to have their own leverage on the bill. However, we do support the idea of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next, we'll have Chris Doolin with Small School Districts wishing to speak, an opponent of the bill.
Thank you very much. My name is Chris Doolin. I represent one of my clients. It's a small school district consortium, and they represent 36 small rural. And there is a win-win here with some changes. The smaller districts, and I suspect with all the districts, the concern is a mandated start time for all 67 districts. There are differences. The first person I talked to was the superintendent of schools in Baker County, and the first thing is, Chris, you make sure that you talk about the safety concerns of our youngest kids. Unlike Union, you will have a flip, potentially, where if you move your middle and high schools later, you're going to have your elementary kids earlier. So the issue of concern and them being more vulnerable, waiting for buses, in rural areas, a lot of our areas are unincorporated and they run long routes and there's just no way of getting around that. The child care concerns, many of our older kids get out earlier, they take care of their brothers and sisters, things of that nature, start times and this, that, and the other. I met with the representative this morning, and I do want to, I'm a former classroom teacher, so I have a master's in curriculum instruction, so I'm not absent of the, and I'm a grandfather and father. So sleep, everybody knows that. You get more sleep, you feel better. I mean, you walk around the halls here and you look at sleep deprivation. You know how you feel. You know how you feel. So, you know, mandated 8:30 start times and 8 o'clock committee meeting start times. Oh, God, you know, but you go, okay. What we would, and what I suggested with the representative, and he's willing to look at more language, but the language that we would put forward would absolutely center the notion of working with parents and communities and school boards on the issue of sleep and the importance of wellness so that there is a dialogue across the board with teachers, parents, across the board without the first, and I don't expect this bill to go down at all today, but I would like to see changes. Like each school district must inform. That's a good phrase. And each district must develop local strategies to address and heighten the awareness of sleep deprivation and wellness that may include start times. And I appreciate the delay. I get it, you know. We want you to deal with this, but there's a hammer here, okay? I'm not sure if you say now, require the districts to do this. You've heard from other folks. They will welcome the opportunity to heighten sleep issues. And let me just give you an example. I mean, you got high school intramural teams, extracurricular. I mean, you back up the day, and you got high school baseball games starting at 4 o'clock. So either those kids are going to be pulled out of school 45 minutes earlier because it's starting later and the day has to go forward. Those kids are going to get pulled. It's going to impact. Or practices. Everything's going to be moved later. I'm not a sky is falling guy, okay? But there is a win-win here. And we would ask you to, before this bill hits the floor at some point, that we work something out, that everybody can design what their plan is, which may include start times.
Thank you. Next up, we have Joanne Houghton, and sorry if I said that wrong, but wishing to speak from Ocala. You're recognized.
Joanne Houghton, it's okay. Everyone gets it wrong. We've been called Houston before. It was fun. I just have a couple of questions on the bill. I teach at a K-8 school. And I read the bill last night. Believe me, I'm a big proponent of starting my school day later. I'm not a big fan of waking up at 5:30 every morning. But how would this affect K-8 schools? Because you do have the elementary and the middle school in that school. I know first and second period, half of my kids, it's like, come on, let's wake up. So my middle schoolers can really benefit from the later start time, but also the elementary kids, they're perky. How would that start times be affected because they are the middle schools there? So I didn't see it in the bill. I was just wondering if you guys could look into that so that they would know. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Seeing no further public testimony, members, is there debate on the bill? Representative Bracey Davis, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Rep, thank you so much for this bill and for considering the safety and health of students in crafting this bill. I think it is important, the discussion and studies we've talked about with sleep is, and I think all of us can attest to sleep deprivation and how important it is to combat that. But I feel like this issue would be better determined on the district level and could be better customized from district to district, from school board to school board. And I represent Orange County, so I did have some conversations with my school district, and then some things that I learned, and I don't want to get into the minutia of this because I am not an expert on start times. However, I did learn that 200 more school buses would be needed for this initiative, which would amount to about $40 million additional dollars, and we already have a 100-plus shortage in school bus drivers. So that's a big, big concern for me when we talk about the fiscal impact. If there was a way that this could happen, it could be cost neutral, then I guess I would be a little bit more agreeable. But that's a big price tag for this. Also, which I think is very, very important, is Orange County Public Schools did a survey, and they surveyed teachers, students, and parents. And 68% of all that were surveyed said no to change of start times. So that number is kind of important to me, and it further promotes my perspective that this should be district-led and discussed amongst the districts and customized district to district as opposed to a statewide piece of legislation. So while I think the intent is absolutely phenomenal, I'll be voting down on this bill today. Thank you.
Representative Daly, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing the bill. You know, I'm not a morning person. I think most people know that, and I wish this had been law when I was in school. I appreciate that it is science-based, and I think, you know, look, I do share some of my colleagues' concerns in terms of kind of letting school boards kind of get to there, but I also have seen it the other way where folks for the longest time have said, well, this is the way we've always done it, so this is the way we're going to do it. And you've given them that lead time, that 3 years to figure it out. So I'm going to be up today, but if you'd like me to vote up on it on the floor, I'd like you to consider an amendment that would say that committees can't start before 10. So thank you, Madam Chair.
I did push back from 8 o'clock, so you're welcome. Representative Lopez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Temple, for this really good bill. What we've heard here today obviously are some serious concerns, and I just want to thank you. You know I'm up on the bill. I want to thank you for working with them. I think your willingness to hear some of the concerns, especially in the rural communities, in the small school districts, and certainly, you know, as our colleague has noted, even in the larger ones with Orange County, having to increase the number of buses that they may have to buy. So thank you so much for bringing the bill, but also thank you so much for always being a good listener and trying to find solutions. So I like the win-win, and I think you're going to be able to get there. Thank you.
Thank you. Members, any further debate? Representative Michael, you are recognized.
Representative, thank you for returning my text messages, and I think my phone just was dancing. From the school administrators and the directors of, I have a STEM school in my district. I was explaining to you, I have a charter school in my district. I've had court messages from parents. I've had messages from teachers. And this really has gotten a lot of attention. And so I'm voting up on this today because I know that we're going to work together going forward and try to get some more answers back to my district. And thank you for bringing this forward. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry I didn't say thank you.
Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Temple, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you very much. I'm going to try to address a few of the issues that have come up and start with yours because that seems to be the largest financial impact. I'd be curious to have that conversation and dive into that a little bit more because we have the routes that we have now, and they still have to run. And so if you're dropping off high school first and or middle school first, then high school, I'm not understanding why there would be such a large number. There may be some, depending upon the distance of driving and so forth, or there could be, but that seems really a large amount. So I'd love to have more conversation about that to understand what the fiscal impact would be. There. A couple other comments that were made. You always have the struggle as an educator in my background, coverage before school for the young kids and coverage after school. Either they're home alone, potentially home alone early or home alone late. And so The reason for the three-year time period is for school districts and communities to kind of have time to make adjustments of what they need to. Maybe they're fortunate enough that their job will allow them to come in 15 minutes later or whatever the case may be. Maybe that the school district will come up with an early room. There's lots of opportunities, but that's the reason for the time frame to help work out some of the logistical things. The notion about sports. If you have a start time at 7 o'clock, that's 180 days. It's 180 classes of whatever content that you're taking in the morning that you are not getting the optimal performance for. Within a sport, let's say you have 20 games a year. That's 20 times that they're going to be out of school a little bit earlier versus the 180 in the morning that they're not getting the quality instruction. So I think there's a little bit imbalance there. But I definitely will work with any district, with anybody that has questions and suggestions to move forward because I do believe that in the best interest and the health for students and at the end of the day, the academics and why we're in school, that's why we want to move forward with this. And thank you for your support today.
Representative Temple, having closed on the bill, Kiva, please call the roll.
Chair Tomko?
Yes.
Vice Chair Tuck?
Yes.
Ranking Member Williams? Representatives Alvarez?
Yay.
Bracy Davis?
No.
Kennedy? Daly?
Yes.
Daniels?
No.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
11 yeas, 2 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, Show House Bill 733 will be reported favorably. Members, we are going to go into a very brief recess to let some of the other members that have some bills before us get here. I would ask that you do not leave the committee room or this area. And with that, we will stop for a short period and take up when they get back. The Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Kiva, please call roll.
Chair Tomko?
Here.
Vice Chair Tuck?
Here.
Ranking Member Williams? Representatives Alvarez?
Here.
Bracy Davis?
Here.
Kennedy? Daly?
Here.
Daniels?
Here.
Dunkley?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Pittman, here.
Lopez?
Here.
Michael?
Here.
Rizzo?
Here.
Temple?
Here.
Quorum is present, Madam Chair.
A quorum being present, I would like to re-welcome everyone to the second portion of the Pre-K through 12 Appropriations Subcommittee. I'd just like a reminder to please make sure your cell phones and other communication devices are turned off. And we heard two bills. Members, we have two more bills. And Representative Salzman, we have you here to present your House Bill 633, class size, and you are recognized.
Ooh, Madam Chair, God bless America. Well, I just have to tell you, this is an American bill. It does two things. Three, because number one, it supports the American dream. Number two, it takes away all fees for class size overages in school districts. So if a school district exceeds a class size, they are presented with a fee and a list of requirements by the Department of Education to correct the excess class size. This bill removes the fee. The third thing it does is it ensures our active duty military dependents have access to all schools in the school district that they transfer to, no matter the timing of their transfer. Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you. Representative Salzman, having explained her bill and seeing there are no amendments, are there questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, is there anyone wishing to testify? Seeing none, is there debate? Seeing none, Representative Salzman, you are recognized to close on your American bill.
I'll waive close, Madam Chair.
Representative Salzman, having waived close, Kiva, please call roll.
Chair Tomko?
Yes.
Vice Chair Tuck?
Yes.
Ranking Member Williams? Representatives Alvarez?
Here. Yes, and I'm here.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Kennedy? Daly?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, Show CS for House Bill 633 will be reported favorably. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. God bless America.
Next up, we will have House Bill 7039, Student Outcomes, by Representative Tribolsi. Representative Tribolsi, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Salzman, you should stick around because my bill is more American than yours. I'm just saying. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, thank you so much for allowing me to present this bill today. It truly is an all-American bill, and I will say that mine probably is more American. I believe in it just that much. Approximately half of our students are performing on grade level. That also means that half of our students are not performing on grade level. Our NAEP results in Florida show that we are 21st in eighth grade reading student performance and 32nd in eighth grade math performance. The long-term success of our students depends on the mastery of the foundational literacy, reading, and mathematics skills in early grades. This bill focuses on teaching those essential tenets of education, promotes phonics and the science of reading, eliminates the use of the three cueing system model for teaching reading in all public schools, including charter schools and teacher preparation programs, and creates a framework for increasing mathematics proficiency in our state. More specifically, the bill requires that reading instructional strategies throughout the entire education system, from teacher preparation programs and professional learning systems to classroom instruction, use instructional material that is grounded in the science of reading, provides teachers, administrators, and parents with resources focused on the science of reading by requiring Just Read Florida office in collaboration with the UF Lassinger Center to develop and provide access to an online repository of digital resources for our teachers, parents, and students. The bill requires that courses in emergent literacy skills for instructors as well as curriculum for pre-kindergarten students include foundational background knowledge designed to correlate with the content that students will encounter in grades K through 12. As it relates to reading and mathematics, the bill requires the statewide coordinated screening and progress monitoring system, which we implemented last year, to identify students who have a substantial deficiency in reading and mathematics and those with characteristics of dyslexia, dyscalculia, and other learning disorders. Immediate intervention for students in K through 3 exhibiting characteristics of dyslexia and students in grades K through 4 exhibiting substantial deficiency in mathematics or characteristics of dyscalculia. I know this is long, but it's so important for me to share the entirety of the bill for you because never before in the state of Florida have we tackled literacy and, equally as important, what we need to address in mathematics to our children. This bill provides that we have with the individual progress monitoring plan for each student that clearly outlines the student's specific deficiency. So the progress monitoring system that we put into place last year provides through progress monitoring that the teacher and the parent receive a report as to how their child is doing in proficiency. But currently, not everyone is receiving all of that information. Currently, you may just receive notification that your child is either proficient or non-proficient, on grade level, not on grade level. We're going to be digging deeper into that and actually saying, your child's deficient in this, but let me tell you where they're deficient. And what we're going to do is we're going to put a plan together for you. And with that plan, we're going to include the parent and the teacher. We're going to provide online resources. We're going to follow up monthly. And before every grading period, you're going to know, you're not going to be surprised with what your child receives. You're going to know in reading and mathematics where they stand, where they are deficient, and how we can help them more. And we are going to get these students on grade level with this bill. Additionally, the bill requires school district reading plans to describe how the districts prioritize the assessment of highly effective teachers to kindergarten through second grade, as well as how reading coaches are assigned to individual schools and require the Department of Education review and approve such provisions. The bill requires the State Board of Education to define and rule the course standards for credit retrieval courses offered by school districts. And finally, I was so fortunate to be able to run House Bill 3 in my first year as a legislator, which put the New World's Reading Initiative into play and into action and providing free books to children kindergarten through fifth grade that are deficient in reading. And this will take that one step further and allow VPK students to have access to more books to get them ready for kindergarten. And that is the bill.
Thank you. There is one amendment, barcode 964619. Vice Chair Tuck, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The current fiscal of the bill states that it is indeterminate but potentially significant. Since the bill's hearing in the Education Quality Subcommittee last week, staff working with Department of Education has been able to complete additional analysis on the fiscal. My amendment addresses this additional analysis by appropriating a total of $158 million in non-recurring general revenue funds to the Department of Education, with $150 million allocated to school districts to assist in their implementation of the provisions of this bill, and $8 million to the Department of Education for purposes of implementing the provisions of the bill. The amendment places both amounts in reserve and provides authority to the Department of Education to request release of funds by submitting budget amendments that include the detailed spend plans for both amounts. And that is the amendment, Madam Chair.
Are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, is there anyone wishing to testify on the amendment? Seeing none, is there debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Vice Chair Tuck, you are recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close, Madam Chair.
Vice Chair, having closed on the amendment, all those in favor say yay.
Yay.
All those opposed, show the amendment has been adopted. Now we are back on the bill. Are there questions on the bill as amended? Seeing no questions, I believe we have some members of the public wishing to testify. We have Shan Goff with the Foundation for Florida's Future, proponent of the bill, waiving in support. Sarah Catherine Massey with the Florida Chamber of Commerce, waiving in support. Laura Watkins, wishing to speak. Lara, you are recognized.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here this morning. I'm Lara Watkins. I am a literacy coach in Brevard County for Southwest Middle School. I just have a couple of questions about the bill. I've skimmed through the 100 pages and I just couldn't find some of the answers that I was looking for. One of the questions that I have is I've had quite success with using a dyslexia font with students that have had dyslexia, and I didn't see anything in here that there would be funding for this type of font to be used in all classrooms. It is very beneficial for students that have dyslexia because it prevents the letters from jumping off of the page, which is what a lot of dyslexia students suffer from, and that's why they have some trouble reading. I think it would be beneficial for pre-K through 12 to have that access. I totally agree with the free books for pre-K through kindergarten ages, but also being in a middle school, I have a lot of students that have reading deficiencies, and I think they would benefit from having free books as well. Into high school also, but definitely middle school, because we really want to catch them before they get into high school, because high school is when it really, really matters. And I think that we could catch them if they slip through the cracks in elementary school. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other members of the public wishing to testify, is there debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Tribolsi, you are recognized to close on the bill as amended.
Thank you, Chair. Lara, I'm so sorry. I don't know what your last name is, so I apologize for not addressing you by your last name, but thank you so much for coming up for public comment. I would like to tell you, first of all, with the funding for how these programs will be developed and put forward, they will be put forward through the Department of Education, created with very solid curriculum, and the funding will definitely be there. We are in an appropriations committee, and I do like asking for money, Chair. But we are putting our money where our mouth is here with this bill. It is a mandate We are investing in our children in the state of Florida. We are investing in our time, and we are investing in our resources. As Chair Tuck mentioned, we will be funding this with $158 million. This is not an unfunded mandate. We are putting our money where our mouth is because our children are just that important. And we need to go forward, not backwards. And as far as the New Worlds Reading Initiative, being able to serve children in middle school with free books, I love that idea. I think it's great. Hopefully I'll be able to do that in the future. I'm so fond of free books and resources for children, so I'm certainly not opposed to that in the future. This is a great bill. It is life-changing. We cannot afford to say that we are number one in education, yet 50% of our children cannot read. So with that, I ask for your favorable support on this great American bill.
Representative Tribolsi, having closed on the bill, Kiva, please call the roll.
Chair Tomko?
Yes.
Vice Chair Tuck?
Yes.
Ranking Member Williams? Representatives Alvarez?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Dunkley?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gonzalez-Pittman?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays, Madam Chair.
Members, by your vote, show House Bill 7039 will be reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, real quick, well, this concludes our business for today, but before we adjourn, I just wanted to make a few remarks about the next couple of weeks. Since January, we have been discussing the FEFP and some of the challenges that we are experiencing with this 50-year-old funding model. And as a result of this subcommittee's work and the discussions that we've had, it should come as no surprise to any of you that we will be publishing a conforming bill. This bill will conform statutes to the fiscal year 2023 to 2024 FEFP that I will be recommending. And since we've talked so much about categoricals, the district cost differential, and capping certain FTE at the appropriated amount, it should also come as no surprise that there are issues that will likely be included in this conforming bill. When it is published, I encourage each and every one of you to thoroughly read it and ask questions. Our staff, as well as myself, will continue to be available. I know that we have reached out to each and every one of your aides, and would love to walk through that with you and continue to have that conversation. But I'm really looking forward to the next few weeks and our continued work. And this concludes our committee's agenda today. So thank you so much for your patience and great work. And if there is no further business, seeing none, Representative Lopez moves we rise. And without objection, the meeting is adjourned.